The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I fly above all the drama, and in a couple hours, JFK.
I have more houseplants than James Kennedy.
And there we go.
There we go. That's something.
I love it. It's just a little,
simple.
It's just some info to share. I'm into it. You guys, bonjour. It's Andy's Girls episode, however you say, un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq, something, something. And I am so, I'm so excited to spiral emotionally over the course of this episode. We're recording it right before I go to JFK because I am really, really smart with timing and strategy. Mm-hmm. Allison Leiby is here. I'm so excited to introduce her and talk about what the fuck is happening in New York and I guess the country today. Yeah. So welcome back to Andy's Girls, writer, comedian, and co-host of the podcast Ruined, Allison Leiby, back in the office. How are we?
I love to be here. I'm so comfortable here. We're tense. I showed up here trying to text you a million times on my trip over. I was also going to propose I'll pick up coffee. I was trying to tell you I might be a few minutes early. I was like, wait, remind me your apartment number again. None of those texts went through because AT&T is down.
And also like Verizon and other stuff, because I had sent, I got my eyebrows done this morning.
They look amazing.
Thank you. And she's done a bunch of like famous people and like the Trumps and stuff. So every time I'm like,
oh my God, tell me more. Oh my God.
Tell me more information. She can't be fired. She doesn't work there anymore. Anyway, So anyway, I sent her a text when I was en route to be like, I'm early. I could run to the Apple store to get a new charger thing or come see you. And I didn't hear back from her. I was like, okay, no problem. And then sent another one, didn't hear back from her. And then when I went upstairs, up into like the salon space, she said that she couldn't send a message to me because she was on the train or something. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that like Verizon and other spots too are also having an outage.
Yeah. Like I like never expect, like when I'm underground, I'm always like, this will work or it won't. But by the time I get above ground or if we're at a station for a while and it connects to the Wi-Fi, then everything kind of like works itself out and things send. And it's like, oh, okay, like the green line or whatever. Like it all like goes through. And I got above ground and I was like, not only can I not send any text messages, but I also can't like look at my email. I had to because I couldn't remember what your apartment number was. So I was like, I had to go through my old calendar and find an
calendar invite for
not
this?
For this, but it's like, we're so cash at this point. Like, it really doesn't matter. I'm like, we don't need a calendar invite for like this kind of nonsense.
Oh my God.
But I had to like go find an old one because like I couldn't text you or like do it. It's wild out there. I hope by the time this comes out, it's resolved, but
I hope by the time I go on an airplane and fly to fucking Europe.
Yes.
I'm not a great flyer. I am also PMSing and I have anxiety like on a good day. So I'm not loving this. I'm also, how do we say, not technologically advanced.
No.
So I don't speak the language. So I don't know. I just think like beep, beep, boop, like, and then a plane is there and then you drive it like you're going to the mall and then we're in another place. Oh my God. So I don't know the ins and outs of like, does the cell phone, wouldn't you think that technology is going to have an impact in something else?
Right, because we're like, supposed to like turn our phones on airplane mode when we get on planes. That has to be connected to it, right?
Oh no, airplane mode.
We're all in airplane mode right now. You can't do anything on your phone
like
if you're outside.
Kyle and Mauricio's marriage, which is also on airplane mode. I don't know what to say, except I am freaking out.
It's going to be totally fine.
Yeah,
we're going to be
fine. Seems like it's going to be completely fine.
It's going to be fine.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's going to be fine.
And I'm just concerned that they wouldn't tell me if they were like freaking out.
I think that if there were real issues, they would have started canceling flights already. Because
I could cry. I'm very nervous. I'm going to keep it real.
Thousands of flights have taken off in this country in the last couple of hours since this started. And clearly I haven't seen a single thing that's related to air travel as like a piece of news. So
the only thing that concerns me is a friend did send me a text who I'm meeting up with in Rome and we're both a mess. But he sent me a text when like the secretary or executive assistant of, I don't know, the department of whatever.
Sure.
Inadvertently, accidentally like slipped that like Russia's gonna do some bad stuff, but I'm not supposed to talk about it yet. And then he got in trouble because he wasn't supposed to. And so I was saying to you, like, since Tucker is like BFFs with Vlad, if he could maybe slide into his DMs and be like,
is this you?
I'm still an American. So if we're pretending that Putin only cares about one person himself, if we can add a friend of this Tucker Carlson gentleman and just be like, can you just remind him not to do some sort
destroy
of
our ability to communicate
with comms stuff, because I feel like that's the future.
I know, because like I realized how paralyzed I was moving around the city without access to, like, and when I say moving around the city, walking four blocks from the subway to your apartment,
that's a world of mad. I mean, that's this, it's the movement. Last of Us, it's the honestly city.
But like I truly was like panicked at the like, I'm gonna go get a sandwich after this, but then I'm like, and then I have to go right to the subway and get right home so I could use my phone.
Wait, but your internet works, right? Am I dumb? It's just the texting that doesn't work, but your internet works.
It's been like, I couldn't, when I was, before I connected to your Wi-Fi, I couldn't, when I was outside, I couldn't access anything that required any kind of connection of any kind. But I have AT&T, which I think is affected the worst.
I have Verizon.
Okay.
So I was affected only a little bit. So hopefully the pilots also have Verizon, I guess. Or I'm like sure the planes
are smart enough not to have AT&T, which is like objectively not a good service.
I mean, if you're flying Spirit today, ooh, I think
I wouldn't get
tough.
On that flight.
I wouldn't get on that flight. So hopefully this, you know, I mean, knock on table, I'm so neurotic. It's not the finale episode of Andy's Girls.
No, it is not.
If it is, and you didn't join the Patreon before, I will haunt you. I think we're going to be fine. I think we're going to be fine, unlike Kyle and Mauricio's marriage.
Yes.
Listen, the finale happened. What was your experience watching it? Did you feel like this is delivering while you watch? Or do you even ever like think in those terms? Are you so sort of engrossed?
No, I felt it was not delivering.
Wow.
Like in the production elements of the show, which is how I, you know, as somebody who makes TV, I think a lot about like, this could have been like, I feel like we saw Scandal. We've seen like very moving moments on this show that have been well, like the music has been scored correctly. The shots have been lined up really well. And I felt like the sit down with the girls, it was, I was like, this music was kind of like, meow, 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 meow. Like, it just, like, wasn't quite as, like, dramatic as we've seen other less dramatic things be filmed for Bravo. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it, and, like, because this has been such a long time coming, and I feel like we're going to get this with Summer House, Happy Summer House Day, which is,
oh, is that today?
It's tonight.
Oh, great.
I feel like we're going to get the same thing with Lindsay and Carl, where, like, we have known about this deterioration and breakup for so long and seen it play out that, like, there is no version of it that would have, like, been as satisfying as the way that we saw, like, Scandoval play out in almost real time. I mean, we were only a few weeks behind by the time we were watching it, or, like, a couple, 2 months. And it's been, like, how, I mean, it's been many months since, this was summer that they were shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, we've known about this since summer, and it's February. So I just feel like by the time we got to actually see, you know, them acknowledging to each other, like, this is over, and here, girls, this is what's happening now. Like, I was just like, we know. Like, that's, which is tough. That's tough in this era of Bravo.
I recorded an emergency style episode with Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo, right after we both watched. And it was one of those experiences of like trying to figure out, because I did find it meaningful. I found it.
I felt
I
those
was upset
emotions.
At points.
I felt those emotions, but it kind of felt like I was rewatching something that I had seen before. Does that make sense?
I think it's because we had the white party, and I mean, sidebar, there's no way that she spent $400,000. I assume that SoFi was like, we're going to split these, or I'm going to pay 99%.
I assume that she didn't pay for any of that. And that was all like, and I'm also
that was
like,
one big ad.
I'm like, do they need people to throw parties at that stadium? Like, why was
it's a great DirecTV tie-in without it being DirecTV related. It does bump up
reminders about the commercial. It did a lot of help for a lot of people from like a marketing and advertising standpoint. Yeah. But I'm just like, I don't quite know like who won out there besides Kyle getting a free party.
Wait, that ad was for DirecTV, right?
It was.
Okay, great. Like it was for like tissue paper or something, and I'm completely losing my mind. I thought that was, I mean, I was sort of against it happening in a stadium.
It didn't look fun to me at all.
It looked like a fancy sort of staging area in a stadium. I wanted to be at Kyle and Mo's house, and also knowing what we know now, it should have been at Kyle and Mauricio's house.
Yeah.
Like, we can't do these far-flung, you know, locales. I don't want that for the white party. The point of the white party is that it's you're hosting a party at
your
home
house
and you're wearing white.
Yeah.
I don't. So that part I was like, oh, OK. But Kevin Lee was fun.
Fun to see. Yeah.
And Glenn, Kyle said on Watch What Happens, was unavailable. But I appreciate that she did reach out to him because I was thinking of Glenn throughout the episode. Glenn, the party planner.
We know how I feel about Kyle. I am not her biggest fan. But boy, do I love seeing Kyle do an impression of another housewife. She just nails it every time. Her little Lisa like moment. She had like two sentences that she shot off. And like she just did a great job. And it's like it's fun to see that. And like, I wish that was the Kyle we got more often. But it just isn't.
I appreciate that we had a white party finale, but I do fervently in my bones feel like we should have gotten a full episode, because with the whole season backed around Sutton being a piece of shit for asking about the wedding bands and Garcelle being like, what's going on in your marriage? Like the fact that these women were dragged to hell and apparently are going to continue to be on the reunion.
The reunion
which is
preview
nuts.
Looked like a lot.
Yeah, I mean, apologies to Erica, but when Erica announced the divorce, it was like, oh, okay, people are like looking at their phones and whatever. And that like that made sense for what we were going through at that point. Although we still were missing a lot of information then. Mm-hmm. With this, I'm like, it's Kyle and Mauricio. They are like the foundational, I think, aside from LVP and Ken, honestly, like one of those couples that many of us, not all of us, but many of us just assumed would be together forever. I think that's worthy of doing if you're picking up filming a month later, because aren't Sutton and Garcelle, I mean, Kyle might not like their delivery, but turns out if the word is, you know, word on the street a month after filming shooting is that you guys are separated. I mean, thou doth protest too much.
Yeah, I would like, I mean, it's like, I know they probably just want to save for a reunion that is explosive.
But you can still do that. It's kind of a la.
Right. And like, I don't know. I felt like it was like, we got like cheated out of out of both a finale and an episode that is all about the separation. Like, we didn't get like a proper finale, which I felt like it, because like you knew that it was going to be half, and because like they started playing the like end of Beverly Hills music that like which like makes me cry sometimes.
I can't. It's an ending.
It feels like, I don't know, the end of like anything makes me very teary for some reason. You know, we get that at like 31 minutes in, and it's like obviously now it like there's a coda, and it's going to be kind of the fallout of the separation. But like, I don't know, like, give us, this just felt like half-assing both things. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like we really wrapped up a lot of different storylines. Mm-hmm. Like, we kind of, it's just like, everything felt very, like, forced finished. And, like, look how fun it is. And I get the fun of, like, a great time, dun-dun-dun, a month later, terror. You know, like, I get that that's, like, a fun device to play with for Bravo for a finale. But, like, it just didn't, it didn't deliver to me in a way that I wanted either a regular season finale or something that really talks about this huge blow up of a relationship for this franchise.
And I get that. I hear that. I don't disagree with it, but I also genuinely, I mean, it just like, maybe I'm just like grateful for the breadcrumbs. It really did deliver for me. Mm. It really did. And there was that tense moment in the meeting with the fam. I guess the kids had no idea. I mean, like, obviously you see your parents interacting, but really, truly, there had been no conversation with them because Kyle and Mo weren't ready at that point when filming was. I'm sure they were just trying to figure stuff out, including like, is this tension because it's tension or how much of this is associated with like the fact that there's a real fracture here. Mm-hmm. But there were moments in that meeting with the kid where like Mauricio was like, we're not on the same page.
Yeah.
About the
and that
living
was
together,
very
I guess.
Dark. And I can't like they've not been on the same page all season. And it's felt like very like I think it's so weird watching something in kind of like after you know how it ends, because mm-hmm. you're just like, oh, I'm seeing like that they're really not like, I wonder if I had not known that this was coming and that this was happening, like how I would have felt about their relationship and kind of like the first half of the season. Mm. But it felt very fake for them. Like, I feel like they've had a very like whatever's been going on in that relationship. Mm-hmm. And like, and I don't think it's all been like it's actually been a perfect marriage and suddenly we had a problem. Like, I think there's been kind of a long degradation that they both kind of maybe agreed to. But I feel like every scene with Kyle and Mo this season felt like a play they were doing for us, both when it felt good and when it felt bad. Like, I feel like, I don't know, it felt very staged in a way that, like, I don't think Kyle wanted to, like, really let anybody into, like, how much it wasn't working mm-hmm. on camera. But I think, like, you could not fake that things were good because they don't know each other anymore. Like, I feel like they were both in that house for, like, 18 minutes this year together.
It felt stilted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough to watch.
Yeah. It's sad. I do feel like as much as I don't like Kyle, I just need to make clear. I just want to make clear. I don't like Kyle. I do get that she's like a foundational part of this franchise. Yeah. And I understand why other people like her, but I don't. But I mean, I do still feel for her. And I think like, you know, that when we get that testimonial kind of like fourth wall break with the producer being like, what happened? Like, you can feel that. That was really, like, hurtful. Like, you could tell that she really, I mean, I think, were we talking about this? The theory that, like, for a long time, there's been cheating, maybe on both sides, but, like, certainly on Mo's side. And it's been kind of like, just, like, don't make a fool of me. Don't, like, you know. And I think that when her friend died, she was like, I kind of need you to just be here for me and, like, maybe not doing anything with anybody else and like support me. And I think that he didn't do that.
I think he didn't do that, but I think something else happened because it sounds like there was a straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that was, but she's referencing something specific and then going on the Today Show and being like, it's been happening for a while. Both of those things might be true.
Yes, I think it could be happening for a while. And then there's one like, this is just a bridge too far for me. And I do think that's what happened. And I do think it has to do with like timing and doing something that other people know about while she was grieving.
What does that mean?
I think that he was like, she was like, just don't cheat on me for a few months and let me just be just be here and be a supportive husband and like don't make, I'm already so sad, like things are obviously not like don't make a fool out of me in Beverly Hills. And I think he was like out and around with people and wasn't respecting that she was going through an incredibly difficult time and just asked as a wife for him to not be a piece of shit.
Yeah, and that he wasn't like curious in any way. You know, it's just there's the idea of empathy, but I think also curiosity. Maybe at a certain point, he just lost his curiosity about his wife.
Yeah. And like, I will say, like, I think Kyle like dove into all of her many like businesses and jobs like mm-hmm. intentionally as he was doing the same thing. And like, I think that they like actively put space between themselves for several years. But I don't know.
Maybe he just
she's better off.
She's 100% better off. Maybe he just doesn't want to have the kind of marriage that they had before. Like their lives have changed.
Yeah.
One could argue, how could their marriage not? But he's just not willing to bend. Maybe he needs someone who exists in order to ensure that he is taken care of and there will be people who fill that role. Or maybe he'll just do what he's doing now, which is this weird
dating around a bunch of young people. It's so funny.
Gallivanting in Aspen.
Been like the favorite husband for so many years. And like, look, he is very handsome. He is very charming. I think that he really did love Kyle for a long time. I get why we were all like, Kyle and Mauricio. I mean, that's kind of it,
oh, yeah,
right?
It's still true love. I just think true love doesn't always
last.
But
I think, like, as we see his behavior now, I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like this person. I'm not super into this kind of guy. Like, I don't... He gives me kind of, like, ugh, what vibes.
Like, yeah, and also, like, we're just having fun. I just don't understand how you can be this out to lunch.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but I've never been married. I've never been in that kind of like extremely significant long-term relationship.
Yeah. Like, it's just like weird that he can be like really pissed off about Kyle telling his mother about her new tattoo, but like he won't go to her friend's memorial. That's obviously a huge part of her life. I'm like, you don't get to be like mad about some things and like not supportive on kind of grander versions of those. Like, it just like he, I don't know. He seems like a asshole.
I don't know when Mauricio kind of changed for me. I don't know if it was this season. I think the laughing about Garcelle's son.
That was when I really, really was like, well, off. I'm done with you.
That was not a good moment for any of those four people in that room, which we really don't talk anywhere near enough about, to be honest.
It should be talked about constantly.
Yeah, I hope that Garcelle I understand why she might not put up boundaries in how her son is discussed, especially after what they experienced.
I love her so much.
I love her so much, I hope that she references it.
It should be brought up more. It should be something like, I mean, I hope she at least brings it up in fighting with Dorit.
Yeah, I think Dorit, obviously from the trailer, is going to be like, you know, that there was like a gun to my head and you're making a joke or referencing something that's not a joke. I don't know which is worse for Dorit. And I think Garcelle's response could be like, I hear what you're saying. Maybe she disagrees. And also, how do you think I fucking felt when you were laughing about my son being mistreated?
Yeah. And I think that that is going to be something that she should pull out if Dorit gets. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know what happened with that robbery, but like their vibe is scammer in general. And I feel like it's fair for someone to like have an opinion on that.
It's weird that they seem to be running out of cash and not a single person is referencing it. How is nobody referencing it on this show?
I mean, all of the teases in the finale of like Dorit being like, I don't think we're going to make it while like against the background of like Kyle and Mauricio's marriage ending. And I was just like, girl, no one cares.
Well, I was surprised, honestly, at the idea of like, I don't know if he's going to change. I don't know if I'm going to be around to watch it. That honestly took me aback. Yeah. Like, I was more confused by it. I wasn't like, nobody cares. I was like, I just.
Are you leaving him? What's happening?
Yeah. Is this, I'm not challenging whether or not it's real, but like, you know, when you're like, is this real? Like,
yeah.
What's going on here? I need much more information.
And like,
than
what
we
is
saw.
It? Is it like, I just don't think it's that he's not understanding her PTSD from the robbery and like, and is leaving too much. I'm like, I don't know. It feels like there's more to whatever's going on with you guys than just like, not that that's like,
yeah.
If that's what's going on, that's obviously a huge, huge relationship kind of hurdle to get over. But I don't know. I'm just like, aren't you guys just going to like restructure the finances of your marriage by divorcing and somebody then at least gets like a little bit of money somehow? I don't know from where. I think he just lives in London.
I mean, I think he was working on that TV show, but I got into this with BBDB. I don't know if the timing matches up. I assume that's why they were so unspecific about what he was doing in London, because they didn't want PK to look like a reality TV star. They wanted him to look like a business person. Mm-hmm. You could do both, but maybe that was a decision not to break the not fourth wall, but pop the bubble in that way. Mm-hmm. Of these are just normal rich people hanging out in Encino. It feels a bit confusing.
Yes.
It feels a bit confusing, and it just continues to be odd to me that at this reunion, we are not getting Mauricio, and apparently we're not getting PK. I think that would have been an incredible.
Have we ever had the husbands in Beverly Hills?
Yeah. White Pantygate.
Yes.
Whoa, at other points. 100%. 100% we have.
That's right. We've seen Ken.
Yeah.
We can all. I always think about Jason Mantzoukas after his first viewing of Vanderpump Rules on Bitch Sesh. He goes, can we all see Ken? Like, is he on like the astral plane? It's this very funny. I think about it every time I see Ken. And like, especially as he kind of like became such a memeable figure in the, can you believe it's Tom Sandoval was hanging out with Raquel, the pool.
Sandoval.
I just love Ken.
It feels, there's something here that's just like, I don't know. And I don't know if it's, I was kind of like riding high right after I watched it, just because I was filled with so much emotion about Kyle's emotion, sweet Portia crying, the other kids trying to keep it together. It just feels genuinely sad. And it also feels like they're not coming back from this. Kyle does not want that.
No. This is not like we pick up next season and they're living separately, but figuring it out because he wants to move. Like, I think this is done.
I think that's maybe part of the reason why I'm like a little, not confused about it, but it's like we skipped a step where this is the first season where we're hearing that there's real trouble.
Yeah.
And we never got to see them working it out. It's sort of just the exit plan.
Yeah. We got like a little whiff of like, we're in couples therapy and like Mo is like, it's fun. And she's like, it's not fun. But like, that was like 30 seconds of a sit down at their weird indoor bar. Like, I don't like, there's not like, we didn't really see a relationship fall apart. And we don't have in the way that like with Scandoval, we had like a moment where things went from whatever they were to over. Like, we don't have like a specific inciting event for this. So it doesn't, so it feels like very jarring to be like, well, we've been growing apart for years, but like, well, we've never really seen you deal with that. And I will say, like, I know that like Sutton is a very controversial figure, but I feel like you'll go with me on this where like, I think like it is fair for Sutton to be like, why aren't you dealing with this part of your life on camera? We all kind of agree to deal with as much of our lives on camera as we like legally can.
Right.
Like, you are the queen of this franchise. This is the biggest thing. How are you not taught? Like, I think that is like a fair thing to ask Kyle. It might be a thing that you ask off camera. Like,
no, I think if you're doing your job, you
do it on camera.
You might do both.
Yes.
You might do both. And Kyle's response of like, I have kids, I want to protect their privacy. You're on reality TV.
Yeah.
You've been in it for 13 seasons. You've seemingly been fortunate at either not having the kind of marital difficulties that you're in now or being able to protect those.
Yes.
But you're not at this point in time. It's like, so it's not the same. I'm not saying the same thing, but it's similar to what Erica was talking about with Andy on Watch What Happens, which he references at the beginning of the episode of like, you need to be in the hot seat on this. Like,
yeah.
We need to really talk about it.
Right. And if this is the job.
Right. And also, if you don't want to give details to protect your kids, I understand that she's a parent before she's a housewife.
100%.
But people have the right to say, well, I'm not in a position where I'm given the choice not to.
Right.
She has a lot of support and power that she has earned over the course of over a decade. And you know what? Some of those chips need to be called in at this point because we're dealing with something we've never seen before. And now we're seemingly at this point where it's like there's kind of no looking back. I need to know what happened.
Yes.
I need to know what that straw is. I really need to know.
And like, if you want to protect some specific people and things, like, I understand that there are, like, you know, especially the way the internet functions and like you can see people like gang up on other people, and I feel like we'll get to that when we talk about Vanderpump Rules and the Sandoval of it all, but like, then you need to like have something that you give us. Like, if you're not going to give us like some specifics about like, did he cheat on you with like the worst person he could have, then like then you need to give us something else. Like, it's just not, and this is why I'm always annoyed about Kyle, is like, I feel like she like rides very high, her fighting, like she never looks bad, even like with the Kathy stuff, and can't, like, I just feel like she gets such a pass all the time, and I'm like, no, this is, you are the homecoming couple, like you are the king and queen of Bravo, really, and now it's over. You can't just be like, it was really hard and I don't want to talk about it, because your job is talking about everything that happens to you.
And the thing is, she's not saying I don't want to talk about
right.
it. She has been revealing. She's answered every question on Watch What Happens.
Yeah.
Aside from one that someone asked about the specifics. Yeah. And Andy was like, I'm going to take this. You'll get into more of it on the reunion.
Yeah, and like, I understand. Save it. We need some stuff for the reunion that feels fresh. And I get that.
Some of this is us responding to something we haven't watched yet.
Exactly.
Right. Like, it's entirely possible, because it sounds like he asked her a lot of questions about specifics. She knew that she was, in essence, and I don't mean this in a way that's like that she was manipulative, but she knew that she was dangling a carrot there and saying, 100%. Something happened, I couldn't take it, or I couldn't take it anymore, and that was it. So we need to know what the it was. Yeah. And I also would prefer if we need to know if there was a history of its.
Yes. Right. Was this like out of the blue, I lost trust in him, or my trust had been deteriorating for years, and then finally this was the final straw?
And also, how does a person define trust? Like, trust could be, I felt like there was potential, I felt like he was you know, getting too close to people. I felt like there were rumors or I saw his behavior flirting towards people, flirty. The trust could be, I had trust that you were going to be here to support me.
Right.
And you didn't step up. And I have no trust that you are going to be the partner that I need and deserve, that one could argue they both need and deserve, but he might not think in those terms. And he gets to make that choice. But so does Kyle.
Yeah.
It might not be infidelity. It might be infidelity, but it
very
might
much
not.
Might be, but it might not be. There could be other just like means of support and being mm-hmm. present that is what she's talking about. I would be surprised if that was the real answer, but maybe I'll be surprised.
Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Ro. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Ro Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Ro, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I can't believe we're here. I can't believe we're at this point. I really, Kyle and Mauricio, and it's like,
I know,
we just didn't really get any time because there really, to me, was no indication because a lot of this was happening.
Yeah.
And a lot of this was happening while they were filming. We're not aware of mm-hmm. the ins and outs of how that is going to play aside from just like rumors and speculation and paparazzi shots. Like, it just felt like a lot of speculative gossip. So the fact that some of this has become real and been confirmed in their behavior and in the finale episode is just,
I know,
it's just kind of wild. I still feel, maybe this is like ridiculous, I still genuinely feel surprised by it. But yeah. But then I watch them and I'm like, oh God, don't stay together. Please.
No.
This is,
it's
not
dark.
Good.
Seeing
it's
them
not
on
good.
Camera in like scenes was felt very dark.
Yeah. And how much of that is because he was just tapped out because he knew it wasn't going to happen because right. they've been struggling for a while.
Yeah.
Like, I'm criticizing him for not being more connected to his wife. But like, LOL, if they were separated a month after filming, but like maybe more than a month, then
the sense he wasn't living in that house.
Well, that's what he was sort of referencing like in the
before.
Meeting with the kids.
Yeah. I get the sense that the whole season he wasn't living there. Because he was constantly coming and going and always like, is this packed? Is this? And I know he travels a lot for his job and yeah. that's like a real thing. But like, I get the sense that he was, maybe all of his stuff was still there, but I don't think he was residing in that house with her. I think he was stopping in to film a scene to be like, now I'm going to Argentina. And like, what? And like, I don't think he was like there full time in a way that is slightly by choice, not by obligation.
And they do have multiple houses. I mean, she's referenced yeah. that too, that like you can quote unquote live together in that you are living in properties
that you
both
share. Own. Yeah.
Right. But it doesn't necessarily. And also the house is so gorgeous and so mm-hmm. goddamn big mm-hmm. that like they could figure it out. This mm-hmm. isn't, I mean, Tom and Ariana have a beautiful house, but it's not, this
too
is not
too small
that.
For what's happening there. It's way too small for what's happening
it
there.
It really
may as well
is.
Be a one bedroom apartment.
I mean, this is truly kind of like the Lonely Hearts Club, what yeah. we're watching right now
I
with
know.
Both of those franchises, obviously with Miami too, with what Lisa's been going, dealing with Lenny. And it's just, it's, there's so many different mm-hmm. ways to look at the disillusion of several of these relationships. But I think for many of us, it was surprising. I mean, LOL, spoiler alert, it was surprising to find out
yes.
about Scandoval. And it's surprising to find out about Kyle Mauricio. I would argue both of these are a genuine shock to people.
Yes.
Because they were perceived as being relatively pristine.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a new era in Bravo, I think. I feel like in the past, a divorce was so uncommon and earth-shattering in some, like, for some of these, like, if you've been on for a few seasons and we know who your husband is, like, holy crap, like, you guys are split. And like, I think now, while it's still shocking when it's like, well, we've known that you guys were a couple for 20 years and like you have all these kids and blah blah blah, like, I do think it's less, we're like, yeah, relationships end and things happen. And I think especially when you're constantly not just on TV but like blasting your existence into the world on social media, on all these different, on podcasts, like all these, I think it like, that takes a toll. And like, I think that that's like a nice lesson that I think Bravo can teach us sometimes about like the foundation of a relationship needing to be strong enough to withstand like this intense, like public version mm-hmm. of being a person, which whether you're on a show or you're, you know, like us, very public, but I mean it. Like, I mean, I know people who like do comedy and have podcasts who are like, it's really tough, like to keep a relationship going because you have people with opinions who aren't in your relationship and aren't in your world.
And have access to you.
Yeah.
I mean, people have access to these women.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in like texting them, but in being able to have an influence, even the way that Kyle seems to be carrying some element of guilt or shame about this ending, because mm-hmm. she is constantly referencing she did this at BravoCon, she did it on Watch What Happens, I think she did it on the episode.
Yeah.
This whole like, oh yeah, 100% she did, because we saw screenshots
oh, yeah, the tweets.
Of like people saying, I thought, you know, now I no longer believe in love, which like you yeah. can think about and be like, oh my God, LOL a little bit on this. Like the fact that you're basing so much of this on one couple is a lot of pressure for anyone to take. But also, yeah, I mean, to read that stuff and feel like she doesn't she doesn't bear the responsibility of
right.
staying married so that strangers on the internet
exactly.
feel safe
right.
in and hopeful, but also obviously it's going to have an impact on her.
Yeah. Can we talk about the party a little bit?
Yeah.
It didn't look fun.
Yeah.
But there was a moment with Garcelle and Sutton that made me laugh so much. And all I want to do is hang out with Garcelle. She is truly like, she's everything to me on Bravo. She and her are talking about Sutton's like dating. And she's like, oh, have you like seen Steve or whatever? And Sutton's like,
oh my God.
And she's like, and Sutton's basically like, he goes to me and then he texts me. And I just think I deserve more. And it's like a very, like, I'm like, yes, I'm with you, girl. And then Garcelle goes, there's a lot of Steves in the fish. And then she like holds up her like glass of obviously tequila and like cheers her. And like Sutton's like, the sea? And she's like, whatever. And it's just like is so nice because I'm like, that feels like a very comfortable friendship for them. And
yes.
it felt like really like fun to get just like a peek into like, I feel like that is how they talk, not on the show.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see like Garcelle is funny. And it's like nice to get to see like these moments of lightness. Yeah, I just, like, liked that moment a lot, and I really wanted to talk about it. Also, like, I'm sorry, I don't care if Erika Jayne is back.
Also, that's a tie-in with Bravo.
Yeah,
like, Bravo's
of course, because
like,
they have, like, her little, like, two-episode miniseries about Vegas coming, right? And it's like, and also, is she still in Vegas or no?
I don't remember.
Like, I'm sure she needs to, like, sell tickets to that.
Sure.
Like, and I get it. Like, it's all, and like, and I get, I, as a performer, but, like, I get her, like, emotions around it.
Sure.
But it was just, like, so hard. And perhaps because it was in this episode that is split with the end of Kyle and Mauricio that
yeah.
I was like, who cares? I don't care, Erica. Like, I don't care that you're, like, we haven't all been together. And I'm like, you're going to lip sync to one song and do a split. Like, I just don't see for, like, 70
life
people in a massive. Yeah. Like, you're not performing at SoFi. Like, you're not
no,
actually.
She's performing for TV, though. So she
correct.
Doesn't want to look like an idiot.
And, like, and I wish that that was the kind of thing that we got to, like, acknowledge sometimes.
Yeah.
And I know we can't yet.
Yeah.
I think that, like, we are getting there
mm-hmm.
with kind of, like, breaking the fourth wall and looking to camera and, like, saying something,
mm-hmm.
which, like, it'll change. But, like, it is just, like, in the show, in the fake reality that we've built, like, this, you're doing one song at Kyle's party. It just isn't, it's not the, like, I'm, like, I'm more interested in day one of Vegas, like, you know,
yeah.
which I know wasn't, like, schedule-wise, like,
sure.
something that made sense. But it was just, like, okay. And then, like, Denise showing up in a pink jacket that said Givenchy. I'm just, like, girl, never stop being you. Like, never stop being you. Never. Thank you. You're welcome.
And like, she totally thought she fit the theme.
She was, like,
a part of it was white.
She was, like, this is white. Like, just, also, like, her husband, her, like, insane husband was wearing, like, black pants.
Was
and I was,
he?
Like, he was wearing, like, a white t-shirt and a blazer and then, like, black or
see,
dark jeans.
We need
jeans.
Her back because she doesn't care.
I
need that back.
But I think, like, the dosage that we got of her this season was kind of perfect.
Agree. That's back is in continuing.
Yes.
In whatever capacity.
Whatever this is,
yeah.
keep
Great.
It going. Like,
yeah.
she's not even really a friend of. Like,
she's
kind
not.
Of
she's
this,
cameo
like,
plus.
In between.
Yep.
It's so perfect. It's so great because, like, she'll give us, like, a little bit of drama, a little bit of humor, and then, like, we don't have to be stressed out by her anymore.
Absolutely. Also, speaking of the Steve and the fish, when Sutton said he ghosted me, listen, maybe I'm a hardened viewer voyeur at this point, but I immediately instinctively, because there was something about him I didn't like, I just thought because they're not filming anymore, so she didn't
that
hear
was
from
sense.
Him again.
I got the sense that he kind of wanted to be on TV.
He gave me actor energy. I'm like
yeah.
charming and charismatic, and maybe I
he
can
felt
book a job.
Kind of cast.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that
it doesn't,
production was involved. It just means that he saw an opportunity and ran with it.
Yeah.
But I want Sutton to be, obviously, we want, and it might have also not worked out, but it just feels like the way that he was like, let's go on a first date, let's go on a second date, let's go on a third date. The fact that he was so forward about that and energized and then
and
isn't
then
getting
just,
back to her
yeah,
because it's not being filmed anymore.
Well, what kind of tipped me off, and this is like perhaps unfair, but like when they were on their date and she had her Celine bag on the ledge and he was like, Celine, like Dion, she makes bags. And I'm like, that's not to say that every man with money has to understand women's luxury brands, but if you're a rich man in Beverly Hills,
I don't think he's rich.
And you date, but I think
he's
like
a man.
I think
he's
that like
a man in Beverly Hills.
It was
who
kind
drives
of sold as like perhaps he is amongst peers with Sutton.
Yeah, I just thought he was available.
Oh, and I thought cute. That like I thought she wouldn't have gone out with somebody unless they were like.
I mean, that's a matchmaker question, honestly.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because yeah. like I like
he
I,
didn't give me like I'm, you know, flying.
Well, that's
whatever,
why I was like, oh, they're like in different places financially. Like, this isn't going to work. Mm. And he's either lying about his money or like he's not. And she's like, this isn't for me. Watching her buy jewelry. Watching her buy jewelry. I could do that all day.
Martin Katz, right?
I mean.
Those earrings.
Those earrings are stunning.
And Porter's $46,000 college graduation.
College graduation.
Can, I mean, I just.
Like, what? I want to be, I'm like, adopt me.
But it's so real. And the way, because she's actually buying it. Spoiler alert. Well, unlike other people who go shopping on camera.
Mm-hmm. No, she is.
$8,000, she pauses.
You
she says,
know
okay.
that she's got that money.
And, totally.
Like, and that she is spending that money. And then she was wearing those ear. Like, it's not like. She didn't return them later. She didn't, like, it, they weren't on loan. She wrote a check. Like,
I lost a diamond earring in Madewell the other day. And it was, I was trying it out. And I thought I was going to return it. And it was not terribly expensive. It was a very, very, when I say diamond, I mean, like, extremely, extremely small.
So oh, no,
like
I have, like,
over
yes,
over $100. But, like, yes, not, but, we're not talking,
not
like,
thousands.
Right,
not
we're not even talking, I mean, LOL. But, like, we're not talking, like, several hundred dollars.
Yeah.
And I went to the register to buy a shirt that was on sale for $9.95 plus 30% off. And I was like, cha-ching, but I need to try it on because it's final sale. I don't want to lose $7. So I walk over and I touch the back of, I touch my ear just to, like,
I
and I felt the backing and I went, are you fucking kidding? Because my life flashed before. Because I'm a normal person yes. that's, a, you know, not to cast aspersions on the wealthy. Shout out, join the page. But like, I just, that's a significant, I don't want to, I always lose everything.
Me too.
But I cannot afford to continue doing that.
I can't also be somebody who's like, I lost a diamond. Like, I just can't like yeah. live, like the only person who could say that is Lisa Vanderpump.
True. Or literally. Erica, if she wants to keep them stored well, somewhere else, and not turn them in. And it was like a frantic 10 minutes and then a wonderful security guard who I tried to tip who would not accept it. So shout out to Haas at the Madewell Upper East Side. Truly, it was a frantic 10 minutes of my life. She found it. And it was like the teeny, I wear very, very, very small earrings because I have a bunch yes. of piercings mm-hmm. and I love them. I love a curated mm-hmm. ear, but like it was terrifying. So to, I mean, maybe I'm like self-soothing by watching Sutton spend $68,000 on the
did you see that
beautiful
that giant tanzanite ring she put on? Was it tanzanite? Or
it was like a green tourmaline.
Greeny blue. Yeah, tourmaline. It was
which
like a
I don't
blue,
know
green.
Tourmaline at all.
Ugh,
I don't
really
know.
Pretty. And, you know, it's just
what
like
was that. It was like 100 something.
Yeah, it was a lot. And then that one, and then that million? Light blue diamond was 9 million.
Which that, when he said, show her the little ring you're wearing, I was like, oh, we're about to get fucked up. But when I saw it, I thought, because I don't know a blue diamond from, you know,
I was shocked by that price because I feel like I've seen diamond rings that big.
Well, you know who's really into colored diamonds is Ben Affleck.
Yes, he is.
Because with J-Lo 1, J-Lo 2, we went from pink to green, her favorite color. And so like the blue of it all, it's beautiful. I don't, I understand.
I liked it as somebody who's a cool color person, but yeah.
Yeah, like Katie Maloney's, that's not really my energy at all. Like a dirty rock. No. Like that's not really my vibe, but like shout out to anybody who enjoys a brown diamond. Or wasn't it brown? It was like a chocolate, like it was like a chestnut.
Oh, I thought she had just like an emerald or something. I don't know.
No, it was amber looking.
Oh, that's right.
Intentionally, yeah. By the way. But that blue diamond, I mean, I was into it. I was like $500,000 maybe or
right.
a mil. But nine
million?
And it wasn't big, but I guess it's just super fucking rare and in perfect pristine condition.
Yeah.
He's great. I don't know anything about Martin Katz except like what he does for the Oscars. Fantastic style.
Terrific.
He's I love.
I mean, every piece of jewelry they showed us in that little shopping scene, I was like, yeah, I see no problems with this.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit into my life, but like.
Well, and also many of the women on Housewives just perform rich. Feels like Martin Katz is a jeweler for those with wealth.
Yes.
Those with wealth and taste.
Yes.
I thought everything
Lisa Rinna's
he had
not
was tasteful.
There, you know?
Lisa Rinna's not.
She was like, is this on QVC?
No. She's paying her mortgage. You know,
she hustles for her money, but she's not like dropping like $120,000 on two sets of earrings.
No. But I also feel like his pieces are gorgeous. But is it weird for me to say? I mean, I know that some of those stones are huge, but they feel more gracious. Yes. They feel gracious in
There's a
tone.
Subtlety to it.
Yeah, which I love. And it feels very Sutton. Sutton has great taste, even though she wears so much goddamn couture that does not look great on
no,
camera.
No, but I do. But I think she knows, she recognizes when something is excellent and
yeah.
and cool and stylish, and she gets it. I'll say it. I like Sutton. I don't like Kyle, and I do like Sutton.
Is that controversial to like Sutton?
I like Sutton. I have some group texts where some people like hate Sutton.
She's a little prickly, and she's a sensitive, yeah. and she's emotional.
Yes, but I mean, like her. I think she's same. Really good at her job.
Yeah,
her job of housewife, not whatever her brand is.
Well, maybe good at that too.
I mean, she might. I just don't know. I can only speak to.
Yeah,
she's very.
We haven't
good at
been
being.
To her store, but we've seen, you know, her.
I would like to go to her
shop.
Store.
Yeah. I feel like she's really, we've seen her grow mm-hmm. a lot. And my hope is also P.S. on social all the time. She's with Sanjeet. I'm like, why can't Sanjeet happen? You
okay.
guys stayed in touch. You seem like to be your good friends.
Yeah, I
know
I
if there's
that.
Not a, if there's not a spark, I get it. But like, he's a cute guy.
I also sometimes wonder about the kind of rules of her divorce
mm.
and like if she is allowed to be dating publicly on TV. Like, I don't think that...
He doesn't have any... He has control over the kids when they're minors, but he doesn't have any say in that.
I don't... But, like, there might be, like, financial, like... I don't know. I don't know how divorces work or, like, what she's, like, agreed, like, just not even, like, legally, but, like, privately with him to be, like, I'm not gonna... I don't know.
I'm sure she's, like, I'm not gonna fuck anybody on the fridge because I don't want to, like,
yes.
diminish our... past that, emphasis yes. on past relationship, but I also don't know that they're having those conversations.
Yeah.
Versus,
I'm so like curious about just kind of like that marriage and divorce and its current status.
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously Lou lost an awful lot in marrying Tom D'Agostino because she lost her alimony.
I don't know what will happen again.
Unless
a lot of money came through. And that's not me saying I think she's superficial.
She has so much money though.
But I'm like wondering like, again, like does it dry up?
Mm.
The second, like,
I don't know if she has some sort of separate or different agreement.
Yeah.
I have no idea how that works. I really, truly, unsurprisingly, but I haven't, you know, been married to a bajillionaire.
No, and yet.
I know for real, yet.
Can setting. I talk about my sweater?
Yeah.
Okay. So feel this. I'm sorry, podcast.
So soft.
So this is a brand called The Elder Statesman. Have you ever seen this online or in stores?
No.
I have seen it around and been like, why is that so, like just online? I've been like, why are these sweaters so like expensive? Hundreds into the thousands of dollars.
What?
And I'm like, this is just a sweater. And like, I have nice cashmere. Like I have, and I felt nice cashmere. Like I felt like I've seen a Loro Piana sweater in person and it's gorgeous.
I've sold it. I've never owned it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, but like I'm a cashmere girl and I always have been. And I'll spend a little bit of money on cashmere, but I'm like, that's insane. And I was at Kierna Zabet. Which I haven't been to in years.
In meatpacking?
In Soho.
Okay.
And I was walking around and I finally felt one in person. And I was like, holy shit. I said something out loud when I touched it. I was like, wow. And like the guy who was working there was like, that's the only cashmere Mauricio Umansky wears. And I was like,
how did he know that you would know who Mo was?
I think just like my vibe is, you watch Housewives. I was like, also, like, I walk into a store and I'm like, I'm going to be friends with everybody who works here if it kills me.
Oh, no, 100%. I'm the same way. Absolutely.
Just like me.
Yep,
as somebody who worked in retail and was always just thrilled when a regular person who was nice came
yes.
in. I'm just like, I will.
We repay.
And it's like, I'm sure they're like, get out of here. You don't have any money. So I started looking on the Real for the brand. I found one and I had a credit from selling some stuff. And so I was like, and it was like, this is what I would spend. This is what a J. Crew cashmere sweater would cost or less when I got it. And it's
I don't
pre-owned.
Own cashmere. I have I had to go to Zara to get like a fucking turtleneck.
I don't dress for seasons. It is the softest thing I've ever touched. And
how much was it? Can I ask? Is that inappropriate?
It was $160.
And what's the retail? $5 million?
Oh, like, I mean.
That blue diamond?
Over 500 for sure. Like, yeah.
That's incredible. Did I not say when you got here, I said I love the sweater?
Yep.
It's a beautiful
it's gorgeous.
Sweater.
It's like a yellow kind of slouchy cropped
V-neck. It's like a chartreuse
yes.
almost. It's a yellow, but it has like a chartreuse energy. There's like
but
a green tone to
when
it.
When he was like, this is what Mauricio wears. This is the cashmere he wears. I was I don't want to be like him, but he is rich and thus has nice things. And therefore, I would like those things. And here I am in a Mauricio sweater, more or less.
He is a cute guy. I don't know what's happening there.
I know.
Well, speaking of not good guys.
Yes. And I have one more quick minor one sentence thought about Beverly Hills and then we can move on.
Yeah.
I just really love Crystal's hair. It's so beautiful.
Is it? Like, it is. There was like, I never thought about it.
They like she always looks great, but then like and she wears it pulled back and she's so stunning. But
yeah,
like,
she's so beautiful.
There was like a kind of a flashback cutaway to like her sitting with her brother.
Yeah.
And like he was talking to like
her mom.
Like, you've been a good mom and you've been a good sister. And she's sitting there and it is just like the perfect 90s supermodel. It's so full. But it's not like overdone ever. When her hair is just down and loose and like it's just, she just has beautiful hair. Good for you, Crystal.
It's a little like Cindy Crawford hair.
Yes, it's the fluffy 90s
it's like
hair.
It's bouncy.
Which is what I always want if I can make my hair smooth.
I could never. I can't. Like, my hair's wavy.
Yeah. It's just like I can do it, but it's like we need a team.
Yeah, I can't do it.
And they
do
need
myself.
To be in charge of it every single day. I can't do it.
Yeah, I can't.
I'm like, it's this. Anyway.
Well,
that was
shout out to Crystal's hair.
Yeah,
we
gorgeous.
Appreciate you. So just to talk for a hot second about VPR.
I know you've got to get on a flight.
I got to.
Is the internet back?
I don't know. Is it?
I was seeing SOS and now
this
I see
isn't
bars.
Concerning at all that it went off and now it's back and whatever.
I am seeing bars. I'm no longer seeing SOS. Okay. I feel like we are
thanks Russia or whatever.
Back in biz.
Oh, also, you know what? I kept wanting to mention this, but you know, there's been so much going on with Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. It's not TV related, but it is movie related.
Hit me.
In light of, I would have recommended this anyway, and I had just recently rewatched it. But if anyone listening has not yet watched Navalny.
I haven't, but it's on. It was perhaps a weekend thing for me this weekend.
Oh. It's I could not more strongly, highly recommend it. He was tragically and unfortunately murdered while in the custody of the state. And if for anyone who's been focusing on like geopolitics and Putin's continued rise in power and just kind of like ownership over there, this was someone who dedicated his life and sacrificed his life in support of his motherland and in defense of it and fighting for its survival. And it's a fascinating, at some points in the doc, it feels like a thriller. And there's a moment where, you know, the interviewer, the director asks, you know, what would you say to yourself if you are killed? Because that was very real possibility. And I've seen the doc a couple times and just truly sort of screamed when the news came in that he had been murdered. Mm-hmm. And they're hiding his body so that they can't run testing. Reportedly, that the reason that his body has gone missing is so whatever poison he was injected with, because he came very, very close to death because he was poisoned at an airport. And because they were able to evacuate him to another country, that's the only reason that he survived at a certain point when he was taken out. It's just very...
It's on Max?
Yeah, it's on Max. You can probably get it, honestly, fucking anywhere because it's like, it's on Max, but I'm sure you could rent it, too, if you don't have Max.
Yeah.
But I just could not more strongly recommend it. It's especially in light of his death. His widow, who is also featured in the documentary, his poor kids, one of whom I think is studying or was studying at that point at Stanford. This won the Oscar for Best Documentary.
Yes.
And they spoke. He could not because he had been imprisoned at that point. He refused to stay out of Russia. He knew that his power and influence so that, you know, because if he doesn't return to Russia, they say it's Western propaganda. You're being used as a state as an actor by the United States.
Yeah.
And for him to go back surrounded by press, knowing that he was certainly going to be arrested and imprisoned for decades and then sent to these terrible, horrifying colonies. Listen, this is a podcast about housewives. I do want to get your thoughts on Tom, but I just could not more strongly recommend it. And for anyone who has been following his journey and his battle, it's just a heart-wrenching situation right now. And his wife is now putting herself in harm's way to carry the torch, a torch that they did also carry together. It's just, I think a member of his team was also arrested too. Like, it's just a fucking shit show. So I could not more highly recommend a watch. It's an important watch, and it's also really well done. It's incredible. incredibly gripping and powerful. I promise people yeah. will connect with it. Tom Sandoval. How do we feel?
I mean, enough already.
Yeah, I think that's something that he would say.
I mean, and I just...
He did, repeatedly.
Yeah, he was like, just let... And it's like, I don't... I think on Bravo, and I'd like... one of the, like, many thoughts I texted you was, like, I think the apology scene from last week on Beverly Hills with Erica and the women at that stupid diamonds and champagne lunch at What's-Her-Face's house.
Mm.
Erica, like, kind of, like, wanting everyone to apologize to her. And I think, like, what Erica, like, misunderstands about everything is, like, no one was mad that her husband did stuff and it possibly implicated her. Like, I don't think anybody was, like, mad at her for that. What they were upset with her for is, like, her behavior after things started coming out and her complete inability to be remotely empathetic mm-hmm. or gracious or vulnerable or mm-hmm. anything. And to, like... And I think that, like, what we're seeing with Tom is, like, a like, she wanted, like, apologize to me for how you treated me. It's like, they were rightfully saying, don't say you don't care about the victims. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what was happening. And with Tom, I feel like there is, like, a parallel where he's like, why won't everybody apologize to me for how awful I'm being treated in the public eye? And it's like, you... cheated on somebody who everybody liked and then were not really remorseful and then went on tour shirtless cover banding singing songs about it. Like, mm-hmm. it's not just you cheated, why can't you forgive me? It's that you, like, kind of, like, turn, like, that you, how you reacted after the inciting event that people are the most grossed out by.
Yeah, he said she wasn't fuckable.
Right.
Like, she was wearing, yeah, like,
wearing a t-shirt. And it's just like, that, like, I think that's, like, a Bravo thing a lot, too, where people, like, misunderstand why people are upset with them a lot mm-hmm. because they're like, you can't be upset with me about this thing. This thing isn't really me and my actions, or it is, and it's a mistake that I think in other scenarios I see people give forgiveness or mm-hmm. understanding to, and you're not giving it to me. And it's like, no, that's not the problem. The problem is the way you're behaving around the thing mm-hmm. that you're wanting the understanding for and the fact that you don't provide any vulnerability for people to kind of give you that understanding. And I think that, like, that bumped me with Erica with all that shit. And it really, I saw it again in, like, the way Tom is talking about kind of the fallout of Scandoval.
Yeah, and the Erica of it all, there's additional upset that people would question whether or not she was involved, but it was a conversation everybody was having, including people suing her.
Yes.
So there's that. And Tom saying, you know, the Sheena and Lala are, like, teaching people how to treat him. I think he's teaching people how to treat him
yeah.
as well.
Right. Like, no real apologies. And then for, you know, obviously it's, like, hard to talk about the episode and then also his fabulous interview.
Which I have talked about.
Which you've talked about. So I'm like, we can just talk about the episode.
For so many literal hours.
But
on,
like,
the Patreon.
That's it. Like, that's the thing. It's like, yeah. you still want people to give you, like, forgiveness and understanding and benefit of the doubt and a second chance. But, like, why? Because this is how you continue to talk and behave about what happened. Like, it's not even about what happened anymore. It's about who you are as a person.
He's not great.
No, he's bad. And there were moments right after where I was like, is this just we fell in love? Mm. And I think, like, Sheena put it well in an earlier episode where she's like, if this was just I fell in love with my friend and I cheated on my partner of a long time, like, I think we could all get over that. But, like, the restraining order that Raquel placed on her and, like, all it's like all this stuff that happens from it that makes it not just that thing.
Yeah, and also that thing might be the thing.
Yeah.
You know, it might not be
and
other
that thing
things.
Can still be unforgiven. You
right,
don't have
right,
to, like,
right. People get to make
the
choice.
Give people a second chance. Like,
yeah,
that's fine.
And I think for Sheena, she's reaching this sort of almost crisis point with Ariana of, like, well, I might want to listen to him. I might want to tone down some mm-hmm. of what I've been able to, like, successfully monetize mm-hmm. because I understand that, like, he's, you know, is really struggling right now. And Ariana's going to have a very different take on that than Sheena is. I do think that there's a difference between maybe not referencing him so often mm-hmm. And dragging him so heavily and focusing, like, all of your content around him
right.
versus, like, calling him up
Olive
to go to
branch.
Brunch.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about it, like, we're going to be friends again or not. And
I'm going, like, to peel back a little bit on the, like, just the constant talking right. about this guy in this way, and instead like try and kind of, and it's like they all should, like, just from a financial standpoint, like, we are getting bored. Or at least I am getting bored. I'm like, now what?
Yeah.
Like, what else? And like, I'm feeling that about the show a little bit, but I'm also like, I don't religiously listen to any of their podcasts. I just kind of like see a clip when it comes across my phone. But like, I do think there is like a beating a dead horse. And like, look, he continues to make news, and therefore it continues to be something worth talking about when he compares himself to civil rights leaders and people like, whatever, or not civil rights leaders,
I mean,
but
a victim of
systematic brutality.
Right.
And a guy who killed his wife.
Who has become a symbol for.
Yeah. For
the movement.
Resistance and Black Lives Matter and all of these things that are like very important and real. And Tom, I don't know, had sex with a beauty queen. I don't know. We're not really on the same page. But like, because he still says those things, I get that there's still value to talking about them. But I do need more. And again, I don't listen to Lala or Sheena's podcast. So I don't know, like, if they're talking about other things and if they're kind of like trying to find other kind of like paths forward in this group and in this world and in kind of like their own careers. But those are two different things. And Sheena does seem like open to friendship.
Which she gets to make the choice.
Right.
She has an understanding that Ariana is not going to change and has set boundaries in place, and those boundaries could impact her friendship. Sheena gets to make, I mean, Sheena's, you know, sort of talking around this whole thing of like, things happen to me and I'm not in control of them.
Yes.
Not in any way. I'm not in any way referencing the OCD, but just saying like,
just
from
like
the Sandoval, right. And from the group perspective, if she wants to take ownership in pursuing some sort of like reconciliation or just peace with Tom or whatever that is, it can come at the cost of her friendship. She has to decide. It's not a position of like, you can have both of these. And I do think that she misses Tom. And it's like, okay, well, you have to decide, is missing Tom better or worse than missing Ariana? She gets to make that decision.
Right.
But there are going to be consequences if she chooses Tom from her seemingly best friend.
Yeah. Right. And she's been such an Ariana, I mean, they've been so close for so long.
I know.
That was like a thing early days, like that separated Sheena from kind of the other women working at Sur at the time. Like, that was a thing. So like, if she does kind of like cross back and decide to pursue a friendship with Tom, it says a lot about where her friendship is with Ariana right now.
Yeah, I'm curious for Sheena's perception of repentance, you know, like what that looks like for Sheena when it comes to Tom. Like, what does it mean that he says he's sorry, you know, if and when they have a follow-up conversation after the one that was like so dramatic. That's when it like feels scripted, but it's not. But it's like, oh my god, you're here and you're here and now we're gonna have this. It was a lot of energy. But I guess that's sort of the tension that I do think kind of exists right now with Sheena and Ariana. It does not appear like they are as close as they were. And I can't put all the eggs in the basket of like, because Ariana's working so much. I just think there are other factors at play here.
Yeah.
Maybe the fact that she's working so much influences the ways that Sheena might feel like she's become like secondary.
Yeah. And I do think, you know, I'm interested in how much of it is just like, we need a villain edit on Ariana right now. Mm-hmm. Or if it like, I'm trying to like figure out how I feel watching it. And again, we're in the future in real time. So it's always hard being like, she just like sold the most tickets on Broadway for Chicago since like whatever.
Right.
But like, they are editing her to be kind of like this unstoppable, like,
force.
It's me now. I'm the number one guy in this group. And I could see feeling, if I were someone like Sheena, like that's, and like, I think we know that like that kind of comes between her and Lala and like those, like, but the edit they're giving Ariana is like, because we actually haven't seen her in a ton of scenes doing a lot.
Sheena?
Yet. No, Ariana.
Oh, Ariana. Sorry,
like,
my bad.
We've seen like, you know, these very staged, we haven't seen like, we had the girls group dinner, which I thought was really nice. And like, we've seen her at things, but we haven't. Even her testimonial of like, I'm going to like talk about Tom while I'm like fixing my makeup in a mirror is like all a little much.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, is that actually how she's being, or is this kind of like a production nudge?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious. But I could see feeling as someone around her like, and especially I'm interested to see where it goes with Lala, but like I could see her being like, I got cheated on. I didn't get job opportunities. I didn't get this. Like, you became a superstar overnight from just being the victim of a really shitty partner. Not to say she isn't talented enough and great enough to, like, have those things, but it happened overnight. And I could see that kind of shocking the group. And I could see Sheena feeling like, I've been carrying this show on my back for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And here, like, I now have to sit around and talk about other people. Mm-hmm. And it's not me driving story. And it's not me getting opportunities outside of Bravo. And I don't know. I can see where she's coming from. I still don't think it's ever worth being friends with Sandoval over.
No, I would not want to spend.
Like, if you're going to, like, ruffle feathers with Ariana, do it over something, like, actually valuable to you.
Yeah, and I actually appreciated Schwartz in the scene that they had together when he was just kind of standing in support of his other friends and being like, you, they deserve a minute. Like, they deserve to, like, own their upset, but, like, you could extend a little grace since you're trying to yank it from everybody else's hands.
Yes.
Listen, we have to wrap because I have to hop on a flight. But before we do, it's an impossible thing to summarize, but a lot going on with James and his recovery.
Yes.
How are we feeling about the talking around his relationship and them reaching a crisis point where she said she couldn't continue with him unless he, you know?
It sucks because I both, like, want more specific details on what happened, but also I don't. Like, I think that James is, like, one of the more complicated figures for me on Bravo because I do think he has done and said some incredibly nasty, cruel things to mm-hmm. people and been an objectively bad guy to people. And I am impressed every day that Katie Maloney, like, continues to film with him after the things he said. Now, do I think a lot of that stuff came out because he has real issues with alcohol use and he was using a lot of alcohol at the time that mm-hmm. he was being the worst? Yes. And do people deserve grace for getting on the other side of that and, you know, trying to understand and be better and repair things? And, like, I am all for that. It makes me nervous to see, like, and I'm like, is this just, like, an edit? Like, and again, like, I'm too into what Bravo does, where mm-hmm. I'm like, it's like, she's talking about his sobriety. He's pounding a weed seltzer. And I'm like, is that supposed to be funny? Is that supposed to be foreshadowing what's coming? Is that supposed to be, like, yeah, he's actually not who you think? Like, I don't know, like, why we're getting that cut, aside from the fact that I think it was happening kind of in real time. I worry. I want James to be better, because I think when James is good, he's both good at being on reality TV, and I think he is objectively, like, a not horrible person.
No, I think he's grown so much.
So much. And it's been, like, and I think he was really hurt by elements of Scandal 100%. And, like, the Raquel of it all. And, like, it's like, yeah, Tom paid for his engagement. Like, I think that, like, what for Tom to, like, throw that back in his face and be like, what about Kristen? It's like, No, those two things are not the same. And I think that James was really hurt. And I do suspect that kind of, like, backslide into alcohol use was spurned by hurt.
Yeah.
I am curious, like, Allie really, or both Allie and James, like, glossed over, like, what it was.
Intentionally.
It was just kind of like, yeah, he was, like, sending a lot of DMs and, like, I just was like, I need to get away. And she took the cats or whatever. And it's just like, I know something bigger happened, it seems, and it feels like it's probably really dark.
I don't know what that is. I mean, Lala was certainly fishing for it, which made me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It just, as a woman, in hearing some of the stuff that Kristen's talked about, this happened during filming that wasn't shown in episodes, some of what Rachel has mm-hmm. mentioned, I just would like to see him continuing to live a sober life and pursue therapy. And, you know, I really do respect the growth that we've seen from James on the show.
Yes.
And I am also a little concerned. Mm-hmm. And little is not the word to use. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to be really careful.
There's
here.
Just a shadow of, like, something else
dark
happening behind kind of the, like, you know, the earnest confessionals and kind of this, like, you know, it's great that he's 3 months sober from alcohol by the time we see him in filming. And, like, I think that's really admirable and hard, but it just feels like things aren't quite what they seem.
I just hope he continues working on his sobriety. I hope mm-hmm. that he is in I hope that he's in therapy. I genuinely forget.
I know. I never know with any of these people.
I know. And it's like, we only know if we see it on TV, but like if we see like it on TV, it's like
any good therapist shouldn't be on television.
And there, we've seen moments with like, I mean, I always think of Dr. Amador, but like there have been moments of, of times where we've had, where we've seen conversations where people are held accountable in a way that feels mindful. Mm-hmm. And then we've seen stuff that doesn't feel like that. So hopefully there will be more to come when it comes to James's like continued work on himself.
Yes.
And I think, you know, this season is going to be a really interesting one. And while Sheena on the after show is like, I've never been the queen of Vanderpump Rules and everything else, like she's never been treated in that way, I do find myself really curious mm-hmm. about what is going to happen here with her and Tom, and like not looking too far ahead, but LOL, here I go, how all of this is going to work with Ariana and Sheena at the reunion.
Yeah, I'm very, it is a weird thing where I'm like, I do feel this, the early part of the season is so dialed in on, mm-hmm. we're in the aftermath of Scandoval and how we're picking up pieces and seeing where everybody is 4 to 5 months later. But I am like, what happens at the end of this 4 to 5 months that we're filming right now? And like, where are we going? And it could get really amazing and interesting. It could be very flat.
Totally.
I'm hoping for the best.
Listen, I gotta go to France.
Have fun in France.
Thanks. Tell the AGs where they can follow you on social, all that and more.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter still, and TikTok with my two posts at Allison Leiby, AllisonLeiby. And you can follow my podcast Ruined, where we ruin horror movies, at Ruined Podcast on all social platforms.
Incredible. And guys, have you joined the Andy Scrolls Patreon? Number one way to support the pod. 3 episodes went up this week. An ep that went up last night. All of the episodes are over an hour with my editor at the Daily Beast, Kevin Fallon, where we have a interesting kind of back and forth about all things Tom, New York Times, the Bravoholic kind of rage cycle, the network selective silence, what we believe can and should or might or shouldn't happen. And also get into some J-Lo Amazon and Miami and Beverly Hills. Another Patreon episode with Lewis Peitzman talking about some vulnerable stuff around how we make the decision of what to share on the podcast, when, and kind of dealing with the ins and outs of our own individual journeys and how that can impact podcasting conversation, as well as LOL an awful lot about Beverly Hills and the Traitors and more. And reading Rainbow, where I read the entire 900,000 word New York Times Magazine cover story on Tom and get into some further analysis. So you can listen to those episodes at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Follow me along as I go to Paris and Rome and Amsterdam for like an hour and a half at Dame Galley on Instagram. And listen, Allison Lively. I just said like lively, but also lively.
Thank you for having me. Always so fun to be here. I'll come back anytime because I'm going to go get a very good chicken Caesar wrap from Milano Market after this. It's my treat and I'm never on the Upper East Side. I deserve it.
I love that this is a win-win for us.
Really
I get
is.
To talk to you and you get to have a sandwich.
I mean, everybody's happy.
Everybody is happy. On that note, I always say on that note like 14 times. I can't not say it.
I can't stop talking to you.
I cannot say it. I know I have to continue. Guys, thanks so much for listening and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.